Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. Can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, with deep sorrow that we announce the death of Joan Lettieri, who passed into eternal life on January 29th. That was this Sunday, this past Sunday. Joan was the wife of the founder of In His Sign Ministry, of course, our beloved Dom Lettieri. And since Dom's passing in 2007, Joan has always remained part of the ministry. Oftentimes, when she was able to, she would co-host on the radio on our Healing Day of Prayer. And, of course, she was a member of the ministry's board of directors. Her smile, encouragement, love, and support will be greatly missed by all who came to know and love her at In His Sign Network. And, of course, especially, she supported him in every way. And I must say that she has supported me in every way, as you've heard her name of this. It's Vidion. Frank C. Vidion Funeral Home, V-I-D-E-O-N, and that's at Sproul and Lawrence Road. So if you continue to pass St. Pius Church and keep going down to Sproul Road, you will run into it. And once again, it is 7 to 9 p.m. at the Frank C. Vidion Funeral Home. And of course, that's where Dominic had the viewing as well for Dominic. The Mass. And if someone can't make that Thursday night before the funeral mass, you may also go to the Vidion Funeral Home and from 9:30 to 10:30 in the morning, you will be able to greet the family and the viewing there. And then right after that, 11 o'clock mass will be at St. Pius the 10th. That was Joni's parish. And we just praise and thank God for the gift of her life, which she now celebrates in eternity. And how blessed we are to have known her, loved her, and have her walk in our company. My brothers and sisters, feel free today to give a call. Maybe you have a special thought of Joan that you'd like to remember today. I've made a decision. As you know, we are going to have a golf outing in October. And on our board meeting Tuesday, right after that, I went over to be with Joan in the hospital Tuesday night. And I had told the board that I wanted to do our first golf outing and in memory of Dom Lettieri. And now what I will do in memory of Don and Joan We will do our first golf outing ever. And I know we have those two interceding for us now for the success of that. But again, just a beautiful friend, a beautiful woman of God, a beautiful family member. So I'm praising and thanking God for her life. And I ask all of you to feel free to call in today. Maybe you have a thought, maybe a special remembrance of being in contact with her one way or another. 610-527-2906. I will tell you this. when I was with Joan and all the family, of course, gathered, all of her children, and we're all gathered together at Lankenau Hospital, and they were wonderful to Joan. And when I walked in that room and my friend Pat Loughran went in with me to pray over, I just felt, as a matter of fact, I came out and told the kids, I felt Dominic's presence so strongly there. And I said to Joan, I said, Joan, I just sense a beautiful gift of Dominic. And she smiled. And with that, just an immense sense of peace just washed over myself. And Pat said she felt the same thing. So Joan was, she knew the Lord and loved the Lord and served the Lord. And, you know, I say all the time, we never know when God would call each one of us, that we would be prepared to go. And certainly Joan was. So my brothers and sisters, I ask you once again to remember the family. Joan's five sons, their wives and their children. And of course, the girls and Tommy and their children and their mates. I'm just going to read them really quickly. You'll see it in the, it's in the Philadelphia Inquirer today. Once again, Joan Nee Keller, K-E-H-L-E-R, that was the maiden name. She was 75 years old. I had a lot of people asking me that lately. And yes, she was 75 years old. And of course, beloved wife of the late Dominic R. And Joseph Crawford. Devoted mother of Kevin Crawford, Brian Crawford, Keith Crawford, and Angel McCarthy, Timmy, Mary, and Tommy, all the grandchildren. Just a beautiful family. Talk about two families blending together. I can honestly tell you, I was always in awe at how beautifully these two families, all adults, you know, when they came together and got married, they had lost both their mates previously. And God in his goodness drew them together. And I can honestly say to you, as a family member, that it was a beautiful blending of those two families. And you would never know that they weren't each other's flesh and blood. And, I mean, I know all of them took such good care of their mother and their grandmother. I know Beth Ann went into, that's Brian and Bernadette's daughter. She went in and stayed, moved in with Joan these last few months and was staying there in home with her just to be a presence and to help her in any way that she needed help. And, of course, the entire family was just so good to her. I mean, you would never have known, like I said, that they weren't each other's flesh and blood. So it was beautiful to behold. And Joan was a recipient of all that love, all that tender care. And they were, you know, great caregivers. I mean, Mary constantly taking Joan back and forth to the doctors, the hospital, all the kids were just amazing. And they loved Joan. They loved her like their own mother. So I just want to praise and thank God once again. She was quite a lady. And with that, like I said, if you want to call and share a little thought or a memory, she is home with the Lord now and finally at peace. She's no longer tired, no longer having difficulty breathing. She no longer needs oxygen. She is breathing full and whole and well, and beholding the face of her Savior. Her Father who created her, the Son who redeemed her, and the Holy Spirit who sanctified her from the inside out. So once again, I just praise and thank God. Also, give a call. Feel free to 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or you can call 1-888-343-2484. Again, you can call toll-free anywhere else, 1-888-343-2484. And I personally thank all those who sent me their condolences. And once again, I just want to share a little bit. I was giving a retreat over the weekend. I was coming home and going to stop in the hospital to see Joan when I talked to my son and daughter-in-law Angel in the morning, the afternoon, and by the time the retreat was over, of course, and I was out of state, I got the word that she passed on the way home. So once again, just keep them all in your prayers. I want to share with you today the gospel of the Lord. And as I said, feel free to call if you'd like. And the reading tonight was the beautiful reading of where a woman touches Jesus and the hemorrhaging stops. And it's one of my personal favorites, one of the ones I love to teach on. And I think it's very fitting today because we often think as physical healing as the ultimate. But however, all the teachings that I have done everywhere I've ever spoken, and I've been involved in healing ministry for 40 years, and I can tell you that all healing is temporary. I mean, if you go to the Holy Land, you'll see that Lazarus himself had two burial sites, one where Jesus had him, where he rose from the dead, and the tomb. And of course, when he finally did die and pass over into eternal life. So for all of us, all healing is temporary. Our complete and full healing is when we enter into eternal life and we are no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more heaviness and tiredness, but we're fully alive in Jesus, and with a beautiful new body, resurrected body. So we praise and thank God for the gift of this gospel today, because Jesus does heal. When he walked the earth, he healed all those that were brought to him time and time again. So we want to remember that, again, even though Lazarus was raised from the dead, to bring glory to God, he too finally had to die to enter into eternal life. And this is today's gospel. It's from Mark 5:21-43. Apologize, I have a little scratchy throat and a head cold, but I'll give it my best shot. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogues, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet. He fell at his feet and besought him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better off and only grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, "If I could just touch even his garment, I shall be made well." And immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched me?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came forth in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole thing, the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But ignoring what they had said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumun," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked. She was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with astonishment. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, when I hear these gospel readings, I'm amazed myself that people are amazed when Jesus performed these healings. And today, of course, as we're speaking about Joan, we just spoke about Joan, who is home with the Lord and entered into eternal life. And so we think, where was God's healing here and then? Why did he heal her? God is God and we're not. That's why he's a mystery. He creates each and every one of us. We are called to pray for healing. We are called to lay our hands upon the sick. We are called to believe that God can heal at any time. But when our time is to go home with the Lord, natural time that he has set for each of us to go home, then we're going home. And those that are meant to be healed, they're being healed. And we have to have the faith and the confidence that because God's God and we're not, that we have to trust in his divine providence. He's the resurrection and the life. And so to enter eternal life is the greatest of all miracles. That's what he suffered for. That's what he was scourged for and beaten and spit upon and urinated on and pushed and shoved. That was what that was all about. He had nails put into his hands and his feet. Why? To rob the devil of his power over all of us. Before, if we died, we died. That was it. But because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bringing salvation to the world through the grace of God, that all who believe in the Son have eternal life. So my brothers and sisters, what Jesus suffered and died in the natural, he died in the natural, in his humanity. But he took all of our suffering. Joan's, always struggling for breath, her tiredness, all our loved ones, pain, suffering, all of that. All the sins of the world, he took it all upon himself. He took it into himself. He who was pure and did not know sin took it all into himself so that he could break the devil's power over mankind because of his redeeming, healing power entering into the world through the incarnation, robbing death of its sting. So you and I never have to worry or fear. We know that as long as we love the Lord, believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and live our life with that faith of knowing that we are children of the Most High God, highly favored sons, highly favored daughters, that we too will one day, when God calls us home, will enter into eternal glory because of what Jesus suffered, the ultimate suffering for each one of us. The road to Emmaus, his two apostles, they were on the way and they were talking about how their hearts were broken. They were probably afraid, and they were walking the opposite way. They were leaving town. They were getting out of town. Their Lord, their Savior, was just crucified, and he told them to all go to Jerusalem and wait there. But they were heading out of town. They were going the opposite direction, and it was like, hey, we're getting out of here. We're heading out of town, and then, Jesus joined them on that Emmaus walk. And then their hearts were set on fire, weren't they? They asked them, didn't you know? Don't you know what has just happened about the Christ, Jesus who was crucified? They said, we thought he was the anointed one. We thought he was the one. And as he began to reveal the scriptures to them, as he began to speak the word, he who was the word, when he spoke the word to them, the scriptures tell us that their hearts were on fire. Their hearts were on fire, and they didn't want him to leave. And the more he talked to them, the more their hearts burned. And what was it they said to him? Stay with us, Lord, when he acted like he was going to move on. Stay with us, Lord. And as long as the Lord stays with us and we stay with him, we too will have eternal life. We too will pass from this life into eternal life to live forever with our Lord and our God. How do you and I come to the Lord? Do we come with expectant faith? Do we come believing that Jesus can heal us and will heal us? Do we believe that that he robbed death of its sting? That he robbed the devil of his power over us? Do we really believe that? And if we do believe it, then we should rejoice that we have a God that loved us so much that he couldn't stand to be ever separated from us. And so he sent his Son into the world to take it all upon himself. All the bruises, all the emotional trauma, the physical trauma, all the hurts of his heart and mind and spirit, anything that any human being would suffer, he suffered it all. Alienation, rejection, abandonment, he suffered it all in his humanity. Why? In obedience to his Father's will. Because the Father not only loved the Son, he loved each of us. And he wanted us to be where he is. One day, we will all be with him. Every one of us, if we remain faithful to the living God. That's how much he loves us. He was willing to suffer it all for love of you and I. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy. And for those of you who just tuned in with a very sad heart, but a grateful heart for having Joan Letiri with us and in our lives, it's with deep sorrow that we announce the death of Joan Letiri, who passed to eternal life Sunday evening on January 29th. Joan was the wife of the founder of In His Sign Ministry, of course, Dominic Letiri. And Joan remained a part of the ministry, often co-hosting when she was able on the Friday for Healing Day of Prayer, as well as her role as a member of the ministry's board of directors. Her smile, encouragement, love, and support will be greatly missed by all who came to know and love her and In His Sign Network, and especially from all of our family, who are family members of Dominic and Joan through blood and through marriage. And we are grateful for the gift of her life. I want to share a scripture reading that I think is important on her entering into eternal life. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. And anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing at all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. That's John 6:37-40. How comforting is that? How very comforting is that scripture verse that it is the will of the Father for each of us to live with him forever in paradise, and that all those who believe in his Son may have eternal life and will be raised up on the last day. Also, the family has requested that memorial gifts may be made in Joan's memory to In His Sign Network, 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA, 19010. And once again, I just want to say to all of you who are listening, it is with deepest sorrow that we make this announcement, and yet a great peace knowing that she is home. She's with the Lord. She's with her beloved Dominic. And we just praise God that we have a God who loved us so much that he came in the flesh to suffer and to die for each one of us, so that we too could have eternal life. How blessed indeed we are. When I was reading the gospel about the little girl that Jesus rose from, you know, he told her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked. We have many, many stories in the scriptures about Jesus raising people from the dead. We see the widow that it was the funeral dirge that was coming down the path, and Jesus saw them, and he saw the mother weeping. It's scripture say it was her only son, her only child, and his heart was moved with pity, and he approached them. They didn't even approach him. He saw that pain and sorrow, and he approached them, and he restored her son back to her. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And because he restored Joan to eternal life, he saw that she was tired. He saw that her life on earth was getting very difficult. And he wanted to give her rest. For each of us, he wants to heal us and make us whole. And when he's calling us home, we will suffer no more, but enter into eternal rest, eternal joy, eternal life through Jesus the Christ. How do we come to the Lord when we're asking for healing? Do we come in doubt? Do we come in trepidation or fear? In all those kinds of situations and circumstances, the people were seeking out Jesus. The friends of the paralytic that did what they had to do and tore off the roof and lowered the friend down. The ruler, we know that he was a centurion. And he had such great faith. How about that? How about that centurion? What did Jesus say about his faith? He wasn't a believer at the time, but he knew. He heard about Jesus, and he sought him out. And he knew. He said, I'm a man of authority. I only need to say the word. Mother Church takes that scripture in all her wisdom and draws it into the fullness of the sacramental life of the church at Holy Communion. When we're brought to Calvary through the sacrifice of the Mass. And when you think about it, Jesus walked on the earth. He saw people coming to him, seeking him out for healing, for their children, for their friends, for themselves. The woman we talked about today in the gospel, she was, afraid. She was intimidated. She was scared. And she didn't want to come forth. And it was only Jesus saying to her, who touched me? And finally, the scriptures tell us with fear and trepidation, she comes out and she falls before the Lord at his feet. Now, he could have just said to her, you're healed. She could have just walked away. But what did he do? He called her forth out of the crowd. Called her forth. And she came forth with fear and trepidation. But why did he do it? Why do you think he did that? He didn't do it to embarrass her. Because a woman that was unclean, and that's what they called a woman that was continually hemorrhaging, nobody was allowed to go near her. She was like a ostracized like a leper would be, because she was continually bleeding for all those years. 12 years she was bleeding. So, Jesus not only healed her, and she knew it. The scriptures tell us she was healed immediately. She felt that healing warmth, that healing power of God going through her. It was something palatable. I mean, you think about it. He said, who touched me? And the woman knew immediately that she was healed. The issuance of blood dried up. She knew it. She felt it in her being. She knew that word was for her. When Jesus sent that word out, it went right into her being. She touched him in faith and in hope. She heard about this miracle worker. She heard about this miracle worker that was going from town to town, healing people, raising people from the dead, making the cripples walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the mute speak. She thought, if I could just get close enough, just close enough that I could even reach out to touch his garment. We know it wasn't the garment that had the healing power, but it was part of his clothing that Jesus had on. And he knew the power went out from him. What did he say to his, when his disciples say, Lord, what do you mean who's touched you? Everybody's crushing in on you. Everybody, the whole crowd's around you. What do you mean who touched you? Everybody's touching you. But he said somebody touched him with what? With faith. He knew somebody touched him with faith. And then what happened? He said, because power went out from me. Power went out from him and entered the woman and healed her. The power of God touched her and healed her. And he could have let it go with that. She came forth. And it wasn't to embarrass her. It wasn't to scandalize her in any way. He knew if she went back then, nobody would even believe she was healed. What he wanted to do was not only heal her physically, but he wanted to restore her because she was ostracized. She wasn't allowed to go near anybody. And Jesus, because they would be made unclean too if anybody touched her. So she touches Jesus, who is all clean and all pure and all holy. And he touches her, who was unclean, and makes her holy by the power that went out from him. This is the kind of faith we need. Joan had that faith. She knew that she could have been healed. And she knew it in faith. I had prayed with Joan many times over these past, particularly this past few years. Once we didn't, you know, there's been several times she was in the hospital. We didn't think she was going to make it. The doctors didn't think she was going to make it. But through the power of prayer, through people praying and believing and asking for healing, she was healed time and time again. This time, God saw she was tired, and he called her home. She was closer to his house than her house at that time. And he said, come on home. Don't travel any longer. Come on home. And so he touched her. And she entered into eternal life. No more pain, no more suffering, no more breathing problems, no more loneliness for her beloved. All she wanted was to do God's will too. And I think she was at peace with that. I know she was. I felt it with her. And when I was on my way back up Sunday and I got that word, I said, praise the Lord that she is home, finally home. And so all of us, we have to trust that God's always going to heal, always going to renew us, always going to strengthen us for the journey, always going to make all things new. Unless he decides to call us home. That's the greatest healing. I tell people, I was giving a retreat over the weekend. I told them, this is God's will. His will is for us to trust him, to love him, and to be open to be ministers of his will, not our will, his will. His will for that woman was to be made whole. Throughout the scriptures, you hear all kinds of healing. The woman that was healed on the Sabbath, we just heard that. And she wasn't even looking for healing. It was the Lord who said, woman. He called her. She was stooped over And the Pharisees were furious at him about healing on a Sabbath. Once again, they always hear about the stories. They were upset that he healed on the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was made for man. Not man wasn't made for the Sabbath. It was made so that we could take part in the Sabbath, to be made whole and well, strengthened in weakness, be filled with the living God. And he does that today through the sacramental life of the church. He continues to remain with us through the Blessed Sacrament, through Mother Church, and the sacramental life of the church. Stay with us, Lord. Stay with us. That should be our prayer, day in and day out. Stay with us, Lord. You know, after I receive communion, I personally have a little prayer that I say from my heart. It's only a couple words. And I said, Lord Jesus, I pray that I may never, ever be separated from our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church and your Eucharistic heart. And I pray that the Spirit of the living God will always bind me and my family close to the heart of Jesus and his Holy Mother. My brothers and sisters, we'll never be left orphans, ever. Jesus loves us. He suffered and died for us a horrible, horrific death so that he could say, death, where is your sting? So they could rob Satan of his power. Just like all of us, he wants to heal us all. Every one of us. But we have to go to him. And, you know, have the kind of faith that the centurion had. He knew all he had to do was say the word. We've, you know, in the new translation, somebody said to me, well, it don't even make sense using that centurion thing. Oh, come under my roof. That don't even make sense, but it does, my brothers and sisters, because when I prayed about it, it makes perfect sense. The church in her wisdom, we are the temple. We are the Spirit of God dwells in us. We, to this day, every day, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. So this temple, we're saying that we're not worthy. This temple isn't worthy that you should even enter under my roof. But only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. So when I hear somebody say it doesn't even make any sense, it's crazy. It makes perfect sense. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We forget that sometimes. We've gotten away from that vernacular, but the truth is, that's who we are. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. And when we say those words, think about it coming under our roof, our person, our temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only say the word and I shall be healed. My brothers and sisters, he has said the word time and time again. And if we're away from the sacramental life of the church, then we only have our life in us. And we can do the best that we can do, but it's our life. No extraordinary power, no infinite power. Our own power. The only kind of fruit we can bear that will last is with the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in us and through us, working in us for God's good pleasure. So we are indeed temples of the Holy Spirit. And when the Spirit of God comes in us, we receive God's life, no longer our life. God's power, no longer our power. God's healing touch, no longer anything of our own. Because we can bear no fruit that will last. He told us that. And so we have to seek God's holy will. We have to seek God's healing power. He loves us so much. He laid down his life for each of us. And what did he do? He gives us hope. He gives us hope and faith, grace and strength and courage and love. And so when we're weak and you're away from the church, come on home. The church is never complete without you. We are all called to be one of the mystical body of Christ. And while we're walking this journey called life, He indeed still wants to heal us as He healed the woman. And not only did He heal her, He restored her to the dignity that she had before she hemorrhaged. That's the very reason He called her forth. So He could show that she was completely healed and restored. Go back. You know, go back and show everybody that you're healed. He had restored her as a daughter of Israel and gave her that same dignity she had before she was bleeding. He told the paralytic, pick up your mat and walk. Healed. I did that weekend on that. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. However, He calls us to have faith and hope and trust in His divine presence. And sometimes when the world seems so dark, and when our situations and set of circumstances are so enormous in front of us, whether we have a terminal illness, whether we have a sickness, an ailment, whether we're sick in mind, emotions, body, or spirit, God wants to bring us His healing balm. He wants to give us what is necessary that we might live our life and live it to the full. We can't do that on our own. But in Him, with Him, and through Him, we can do all things in Christ who lives in us and strengthens us. So never forget that we have been given the gift of faith. You can't earn it. It's a gift. All the works in the world won't earn it. Faith is a gift. By grace, we are saved. Not by the faith. Faith is a gift given to us. We're saved by grace through faith, that we would believe. Not only that, we're called now because we've been blessed and fed and nourished at the table of the Lamb. We're called to intercede for others to come and know the fullness of truth. We're called to go out and to share the good news that Jesus shared with us through one another. All of us are called to make a difference in the world. Every single one of us. You can make a difference, maybe one heart at a time. But unless we start making a difference, nothing's going to change. So you and I are called to go out and make a difference in the world. We pray for all those who have gone before us. The Church Triumphant. Now Joni's a member of the Church Triumphant. And my brothers and sisters, all those who have gone before us are praying for us to fight the good fight and to run the good race. Please pray for our Archbishop with all the changes and all that's going on in our diocese. Pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding to be with him, to shepherd the flock to eternal life. So none of us would be lost, but have eternal life with Jesus. Remember, he came to die that we might live, and to live life to the full. We are grateful for your love and your support. We ask you to continue to pray for In His Sign, Catholic Radio, that we might continue to be a voice for those who have no voice. May God bless you, and remember you're never alone. He who is in you will see you through every trial and circumstance. He will comfort you and strengthen you for the journey, so that when our journey is over, he'll say to each of us, "Well done, good servant, enter into the kingdom." God bless you.